Today we are learning Yevamos Daf Vav, which is going to somewhat continue the discussion of Aseh Docheilos Aseh, which we've had over the past couple of Dapim, and transition from just the general rule of Aseh Docheilos Aseh, of a positive commandment overriding a typical negative commandment, a typical Los Aseh, but even if perhaps an Aseh is going to override a Los Aseh Sheyesh Bo Kares, if it's even able to override a negative commandment, which is also punishable by Kares, which we will get into in a bit. And we're going to bring three potential sources for this rule that Aseh Docheilos Aseh Sheyesh Bo Kares, one from Kibud Av Va'Em, from honoring one's parents, one from Binyan Beis HaMikdash, from the mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash, and then thirdly, and Daf Vav Amid Beis, from the mitzvah of the Isra of Havara, the prohibition of igniting a flame on Shabbos. But let's just recap before we dive into it, just to kind of remind ourselves where exactly we are in Meseches Yevamos. And of course, it all started with the Mishnah on Daf Beis. The Mishnah on Daf Beis discussed the mitzvah of Yibum, which, to quickly recap, is if Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Shimon dies, and he had a surviving wife, so the mitzvah of Yibum is that Reuven is expected to marry, to do Yibum, and marry Shimon's surviving wife. That's the mitzvah of Yibum, and the quandary of our Mishnah is, let's say, the surviving wife is an erva to Reuven. It's one of the forbidden relationships to Reuven. So, for example, Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Shimon dies, and Shimon's wife that Reuven is expected to marry is Reuven's own daughter. So Reuven can't marry his own daughter. Of course, that's a prohibition from the Torah. So what are you supposed to do? So our Mishnah taught that Reuven is pater from doing Gibum with his own daughter. And it also extended it to the Tzaras Arva, the co-wife of Reuven's daughter, as well as the Tzaras Arva, the co-wife of Reuven's daughter. But those details are not important for today's daf. But just the fact that our Mishnah said that one is pater from doing Yibum with one of the Arayos, you're pater from doing Yibum with a woman who is of the forbidden relationships listed in the Torah, any of the 15. I'm going to keep using daughter as the example, because I think that that's just the easiest one to roll off the tongue than to say the father-in-law is mother, or any of those examples, or your wife's sister. So we'll just stick with daughter. But there are 15 examples of these forbidden relationships with which one is pater from doing Yibum. And the Gemara on Daf Gimel Amid Beis said, where's the source for this in the Torah? Prove to me that one is pater from doing Yibum with one of the Arayos. And the Gemara says, from the word Aleha, there's an extra word, Aleha, to teach me that one is pater from doing Yibum in this situation. And the Gemara asks a simple question, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that I am pater from doing Yibum with my daughter, for example? What would I think without that pasuk? I would have thought that you should do Yibum. You should go ahead and marry your daughter. That doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, yes, without the pasuk telling me that I'm pater from doing Yibum, I would have thought that perhaps Aseh Docheilos Aseh, that the mitzvah of Yibum is an Aseh. It's a positive commandment, and you also have a negative commandment of arayos, of forbidden relationships, and so without a pasuk telling me not to do Yibum, I would have thought, yeah, go ahead, Reuven, and do Yibum with your daughter, because the aseh of Yibum is going to override the los aseh of arayos, of the forbidden relationships. And the Gemara said, really? Is that really? I would have thought that aseh doche los aseh applies over here, that Yibum would have overridden the los aseh of arayos? And the Gemara had two questions. One was just broad and just, how do we know that there's a rule of Aseh Docheilos Aseh in general? And that's what we spent the last two Dapim on Daf Dalid and on Daf Hey to prove that this rule exists. There is a rule of a positive commandment overriding a negative commandment. We proved it from Kilayim B'Tzitzis, that if one has shatnez, a mixture of wool and linen, with his tzitzis, so the mitzvah of tzitzis overrides the prohibition of shatnez, of having such a mixture. And on Dalid Amadez was from the extra words of Tzemer U'Pishtim, and Daf, according to Rabbi Shmuel, and on Hey Amid Beis was to this the extra word shatnez in the Torah. But whichever limud you choose, we have a rule. Fine, we have a rule of Aseh Docheilos Aseh in the Torah. That positive commandments, if it butts heads with a negative commandment, the positive commandment is going to win out. But the Gemara had a second question, and the Gemara said, fine, I have a rule that Aseh Docheilos Aseh, but not all los aseh are created equal. So yes, you have your run-of-the-mill los aseh. The Torah just gave a negative commandment to not to do something. And so there, yes, we say that the positive commandment overrides your run-of-the-mill los aseh negative commandment. But let's say it's a super-duper los aseh. Let's say maybe there's a certain category of negative commandment which is stronger, where we would say that maybe an aseh is not going to override such a los aseh. And that's perhaps a los aseh sheyesh bo kares. there are some los ases, some negative commandments, which in addition to the punishment that will be meted out through Beis Din, there's an additional punishment called kares, which we actually discussed in the Daf HaShavua in the end of Moed Katan. Way back when, in the end of Moed Katan, we discussed what's the punishment of kares, perhaps dying in an earlier age than one would have otherwise died, or perhaps without children, whichever the situation may be. But the extra punishment, not from Beis Din, but kares, is from directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so perhaps, yes, I have a rule that ase doche lo sase, that in general, positive commandments override negative commandments. But is that true when the negative commandment is a lo sase sheyesh bo kares? Maybe that's lo sase sheyesh bo kares is super strong, and an ase cannot override. And for us particularly, we're discussing the mitzvah of Yibum versus a lo sase sheyesh bo kares of Arayos. The forbidden relationships is punishable with kares. And so perhaps one can ask, why do I have to have a pasuk to tell me that I should not do Yibum, for example, with my own daughter? So we said, oh, maybe because without the pasuk, I would have said that go ahead, do Yibum. Asay doche los asay. The asay of Yibum is going to override the los asay of Arayos. And now the Gemara is asking, well, who says that that's true? Because this isn't just a regular los asay. This is a los asay sheyesh bo kares. And who says that an asay is going to be doche a los asay sheyesh bo kares? So that's what our discussion today is going to be on continuing from Daf Hey Amid Beis through Daf Vav, about how do we know that a positive commandment is even able to override a los aseh sheyesh bo kares, a negative commandment that also is punishable by kares, this additional punishment directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so again, we're going to have three main sources. One from the mitzvah of kibud av va'em, from honoring one's parents. Secondly, from the mitzvah of binyan beis hamikdash, of building the beis hamikdash. And then thirdly, we're going to have a potential proof from the prohibition of havara on Shabbos, of igniting a flame on Shabbos. Perhaps from these three places, we'll see that aseh doche lo aseh sheyesh bo kares, and we will perhaps reject all of those proofs as well. But let's get started with one more additional disclaimer, which Rabbi Weissman actually pointed out last week as well, which is that if you think about it, we're looking for a proof that aseh doche los aseh sheyesh bo kares, that the positive commandment overrides the los aseh. But what we're actually going to be looking for is a case where a pasuk tells me that the aseh does not override the los aseh sheyesh bo kares, and then the methodology is going to be that, oh, a pasuk tells me that over here, that this case is an exception, that the aseh does not override the los aseh sheyesh bo kares, but otherwise, without that pasuk, the default would have been that the aseh is doche the los aseh sheyesh bo kares. So we're really looking for cases where it's not true, but that case is the exception to the rule. So let's just get started, and starting from Daf Hey Amid Beis, at six lines from the bottom, the first word on the line is Tesi. The Gemara says, Tesi me kibud av va'em. Maybe we can prove from kibud av va'em, from the mitzvah of honoring one's parents, that aseh doche lo sase sheyesh bo kares. D'tanya, it says in the Braisa, yachol yehe kibud av va'em doche Shabbos. I would have thought that maybe the mitzvah of kibud av va'em overrides Shabbos. Meaning if your parents go and tell you to go violate Shabbos, your father tells you, you're sitting on the Shabbos table, and your father tells you, go cook me some new fresh cholent. So your father's asking you to go violate Shabbos. I would have thought maybe that I should listen to my parents and fulfill the mitzvah of kibud av va'em, even though it means violating Shabbos. The Gemara says no. The pasuk tells me, Talmud Lomar, ish imo ve'aviv tira'u, ve'es shabsosai tishmoru. The same pasuk that tells me to respect my parents also tells me to keep Shabbos. And the reason why these two dinim are together, these two mitzvos of kibud av va'em and shmirah Shabbos are in the same pasuk, is to tell me, kulchem chayavin bechvodi. You and your mother and your father are all chayav in keeping Shabbos. And since you all have to keep Shabbos, you should therefore not listen to your parents if they ask you to violate Shabbos. Or in other words, the asay of kibud av va'em is not going to override the los aseh of Shabbos. And again, the methodology is, we see a case where the aseh does not override the los aseh sheyesh bo kares, and that's because a pasuk tells me that, but without that pasuk, the default rule would have been that aseh doche los aseh sheyesh bo kares, and this is just one of the exceptions to the rule where the positive commandment does not override the negative commandment. But of course, first, for this to be helpful to the conversation of aseh doche los aseh sheyesh bo kares, we have to prove that we're actually talking about over here a lo sase sheyesh bo karis, and not just a run-of-the-mill, regular, standard lo sase. So the Gemara says, well, look, it must be talking about a lo sase sheyesh bo karis, because my lav de amar le shechot li bashel li, isn't the case where your father asks you to violate one of the 39 primary malachos of Shabbos, like he asks you to go slaughter an animal, or to go cook for him on Shabbos, go cook me a challenge on Shabbos? Because we have 39 primary malachos of Shabbos, the 39 lametes malachos, like cooking and writing and tearing, these are all prohibitions of Shabbos, which are punishable through kares as well. They're punishable by Beis Din, through skila, through stoning, and they're also punishable from HaKadosh Baruch Hu personally through the punishment of kares. So we have all these punishments on Shabbos, the 39 malachos, the 39 primary prohibitions that are all lo sase sheyesh bo kares, and so presumably that's the case over here. We have kibud av va'em versus a lo sase sheyesh bo kares, and the pasuk tells me that it's not going to override, but taima to kasa Rachmana es shabso sai tishmoru. That's because over here it's an exception. The pasuk tells me that the ase does not override the los ase sheyesh bo kares, but halav hachidachi. Doesn't it seem to be that without that pasuk, the default rule would have been that ase doche los ase sheyesh bo kares, that a positive commandment does override even a los ase sheyesh bo kares? So the Gemara says no, because maybe we're not talking about a los ase sheyesh bo kares. Gemara says lo. Lav de Mechamer. Turning over to Vav Amid Aleph, the Gemara says, maybe we're talking about Mechamer. Because truth be told, yes, there are 39 primary malachos, which we are all familiar with, the primary prohibitions of Shabbos, which are all lo sase sheyesh bo kares. They're all punishable by kares. But truth be told, there are other prohibitions of Shabbos as well. Beyond the 39, there are also, there's another category, a lesser category of prohibitions that are not punishable by kares, but are still forbidden on Shabbos, and one of which is mechamer. Mechamer is to lead your animal in order to make your animal do work for you. So for example, if your animal has a load on its back, if it's carrying your suitcase, and you say, here boy, and you get your animal to walk towards you, so that's a prohibition of mechamer, to make your animal do work for you on Shabbos. And Rashi points out, the first Rashi on the page, lav de mechamer achar behema, when you make your animal lead after you, shehu bilav, it's just a regular lav, not a lo sase sheyesh bo kares, but a typical lo sase. Based on the pasuk, de lo sase kol malacha, the Torah says, we should not violate Shabbos, you should not violate Shabbos, not do any malacha on Shabbos, but also, ata uvehemticha, your animals should also not violate Shabbos. Uvehai, lav, with this prohibition, leka kares, to lo avid maset begufe. I didn't personally do anything wrong. My animal is the one who violated Shabbos. And so, yes, if I do malacha on Shabbos, I'm going to be chayav kares. But if my animal does malacha on Shabbos, then I am not going to be chayav kares. And so we thought we had a proof that, oh, from here we see, it's an ase versus a los ase sheyesh bo kares. Great, we have a proof that an ase, a positive commandment, can override even a negative commandment which has kares. And the Gemara says, no, not so fast. We're not talking about a lo sase sheyesh bo kares over here. It's not one of the 39 primary malachos where your father says to you, go cook a challenge for me on Shabbos. No, our case is just a regular, run-of-the-mill, standard lo sase. For example, like mechamer, where there is no prohibition of kares, and therefore it's not going to be helpful at all to our conversation of ase doche lo sase sheyesh bo kares, because this is not an example of a lo sase sheyesh bo kares. Like Gemara says, whoa, wait one second. You're telling me that this case is kibud av va'em, where your parents ask you to violate just a regular lav, a regular lo sase, like mechamer, that does not have kares? That causes some big problems. Ba'filu hachi lo dachi, you have a regular ase, versus it comes up against a typical lo sase, and you're telling me that even so, it's not going to override the lo sase? That's a big problem, because if you were here for the past 2 weeks, we just spent 2 weeks proving that when you have an ase versus a lo sase, generally ase doche. So the Gemara asks, Ella de Kaimalan de Asi Ase Vedachi Losase, instead of proving what we have from Kilayim Betzitzis, that in general Ase Doche Losase, Ligmar Mehacha de Lolidchi. Maybe right from here we see it's a typical Ase of Kibud Av Va'em versus a typical Losase of Mechamer on Shabbos. There's no Kares over here, and still we see that it's not Doche. So why don't we prove from here that Ase Doche Losase is not true ever? Which you can rip out the past two pages of your Gemara Vamos. Please don't actually do that. But it seems like that's true. We just wasted all our time proving Ase Doche Losase, but right now, if this is really talking about Mechamer, we just showed that Ase is not Doche, even just a standard Losase. Mar says, V'chi tema, maybe you'll answer that no, shayni lave de Shabbos de chamiri. So maybe we have a rule in general, which we've proven, that aseh doche los aseh, but when the los aseh is something like Shabbos, like by over here where you have mechamer, so maybe Shabbos is more strict, and so maybe the rule of aseh doche los aseh is usually true, but this happens to not be true over here by Shabbos. Why is Shabbos more strict? So we know that Shabbos is a big deal, of course. Rashi spells it out for us. Rashi says, "V'chi tema shani lave de Shabbos de chamiri de kaimalan mechal al Shabbos ka oved avoras kochavim." The Gemara in Erevin Samach Tesum Midbei says that one who violates Shabbos is comparable to one who violated idolatry, as if you did avodah zara. So we see that Shabbos is a big deal, and so maybe you can't compare things to Shabbos because Shabbos is in a league of its own. Shabbos is super, super strict. Maybe you'll say that, but you can't say that because v'hatana be'alma ka'i ve'lo kaparich. We see places where there will be a Tana who teaches a certain ruling and learns it from Shabbos, and we don't have any problem learning things from Shabbos. We don't typically say that, oh, Shabbos is super strict, you can't learn any halachos from comparing things to Shabbos. For example, the Tanya, it says in the Braisa, Yachol amar lo aviv hi tamei, maybe if your father tells you to go become tamei, meaning if the father is a Kohen, and his son is therefore also a Kohen, and the father tells his son, the Kohen, go enter that cemetery over there. Even though there is a prohibition for a Kohen to become impure, yet the father goes and tells his son to go become impure by entering a cemetery. Or, Osha Omar Lo Al Tafzir. Or a son goes and he sees a lost object on the floor. He says, oh, look, I just found Reuven's wallet. I want to go return it to Reuven. And the father says, no, don't you dare go and return that lost object. Don't fulfill the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, returning someone's lost object. So, Yachol Yishama Lo. I would have thought that maybe I should listen to my parents, meaning I should listen to my parents to violate other Isurim, like violating the prohibition of becoming Tameh if you're a Kohen. Or I should listen to my parents to not fulfill the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. The Gemara says no. Talmud Omar ish imo ve'aviv tira'u ve'es shabsosai tishmoru kulchem chayavin bechvodi. As we already said, that you should not, we already taught from the Pasuk that you should not listen to your parents when it comes to violating Shabbos. And so the Braisa says, just like I shouldn't listen to my parents when they ask me to violate Shabbos, so too I shouldn't listen to my parents when they ask me to violate Hashavas Aveda. So we're comparing Hashavas Aveda to Shabbos. Clearly we have no problem comparing things to Shabbos, and we don't usually say that, oh, Shabbos is super, super strict and in a league of its own that we can't learn things, we can't compare things to Shabbos. So we're stuck with this question. If our case is Kibbud Avaim versus Mechamer, just a regular standard Los Aseh, and we see from here that Aseh, a positive commandment, cannot override a typical negative commandment, then we have a big problem. Why don't we learn from here, just like by Shabbos, an aseh does not override a los aseh? So too in general, an aseh does not override your typical los aseh, which is against what we just spent the past 2 weeks teaching us about this typical rule of aseh doche los aseh. So the Gemara answers, Ela mishum de'ikel mifrach ma lahanach shekein hechsher mitzvah. There's a machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos, very interesting about how to understand this answer. It is the bottom Tosfos, Shekein Hechsher Mitzvah, which you can look at on your own. However, we're going to stick with Rashi's explanation. And Rashi basically says that Ella, when we say this answer, we're basically going back to what we initially said. Fine, forget it. It can't be we're talking about Mechamer over here. That causes us too many problems. Let's go back to what we originally thought, that this is a Los Aseh Sheyesh Bo Kares. We're talking about where your parents told you to violate one of the primary Malachos of Shabbos. They told you to go cook on Shabbos. So why don't we see from here, we thought this would be a good proof that Aseh Doche Los Aseh Sheyesh Bo Kares. Mari says you can't learn from here that Aseh Doche Los Aseh Sheyesh Bo Kares. Because one could ask, Mishum De'ikla Mifrach, one could ask the following question, Ma Lahanach, this case is different, Shekein Hechsher Mitzvah. So what does Hechsher Mitzvah mean? It's confusing because it usually means one thing, and that's not what it means over here. So for those of us who have heard of the word Hechsher Mitzvah before, it usually means, for example, there's a mitzvah to shake lulav and esrog. Is there a mitzvah to go to the store or to go to the Young Israel's Dalet Minim sale and to go buy your lulav and esrog? There's no mitzvah to buy them. The mitzvah is to shake them. What's buying them? That's a hechsher mitzvah. Hechsher mitzvah usually means the preliminary stages, the prerequisite that one has to go through in order to later fulfill a mitzvah. But hechsher mitzvah is just the earlier stages of fulfilling a mitzvah. And if you would read into how Tosfos explains this answer, Tosfos gets the The positive of Tosfos' pshat is that he gets to explain it in a way that Hekshar Mitzvah means what we usually think that it means. But we're going to stick with Rashi. And Rashi says that what does it mean when we say Hekshar Mitzvah over here? So it means that the only way to fulfill the Aseh is by violating the Lo's Aseh. I'll say it again. The only way to fulfill the positive commandment, like we have over here, Kibud Avaim, the only way to fulfill Kibud Avaim is by violating the Los Aseh Sheyesh Bo Kares of violating Shabbos. Because your parents asked you, go and cook for me a cholent on Shabbos. The only way for me to listen to my parents when they ask me to do such a request is by going ahead and cooking on Shabbos. And so yes, when I have a positive commandment versus a Los Aseh Sheyesh Bo Kares, we'll say that the positive commandment overrides the negative commandment that's punishable by kares, but only if the only way to fulfill the aseh is by violating the los aseh. But if there's another way out, if there's a way that I can fulfill the aseh without having to get into the prohibition of violating this los aseh, then we're not going to say that the positive commandment overrides the negative commandment. It'll make a bit more sense when we try to compare this, try to plug this in to our example. Our example, if you remember that we were in the introduction to today's shiur, we're talking about Yibum. We're in Yevamos. We're talking about Yibum. You have the mitzvahs aseh of Yibum, and the los aseh sheyesh bo kares is the prohibition of, for example, marrying your own daughter. So, is it true that the only way to fulfill the aseh is by violating the los aseh? So yes, there is a mitzvah of Yibum, but there's also an equally viable option of Chalitza. Chalitza is the act of, it's like divorce. It's to withhold from doing Yibum, to not go ahead and actually marry the surviving wife, but to cut ties with the surviving wife. And so one can fulfill the mitzvah by just picking the other option. Just pick Chalitza. And you can do Chalitza without having to get into the mess of violating the Los Aseh Sheyesh Bo Kares. So Rashi explains that the Gemara is telling us over here is that yes, you thought you had a proof from Kibud Avaim versus Shabbos that Aseh Doche Los Aseh Sheyesh Bo Kares, but that's not true. Only over here, only by Kibud Avaim we say that it's going to override it. You should do the aseh, even if it means violating the los aseh, sheyesh bo kares. That's because there's no other way out. The only way to fulfill the mitzvah is by violating the aveira. But by yibum, we have another way out. Instead of doing yibum, which would violate the prohibition of marrying your daughter, for example, you can just do chalitza. You can get the best of both worlds. You can fulfill the mitzvah without violating the los aseh, sheyesh bo kares. And so by us, we still have no proof that by us, by Yibum, that I would have thought that maybe the mitzvah of Yibum is an aseh that's going to override the los aseh sheyesh bo kares of Arayos. So that concludes the first potential proof. We thought we had a proof from the mitzvah of Kibud Avaim, of honoring one's parents and fulfilling their requests, but we ended up rejecting that proof and saying that that is not comparable to our case, because by Kibud Avaim, the only way to fulfill the aseh is by violating the los aseh, whereas by us, by Yibum, one can fulfill the aseh without violating the los aseh. It's a very interesting application to the mitzvah of Kibud Avaim from our Gemara, and that is that typically, if you think about the mitzvah of Kibud Avaim, you think about what we've been discussing, where your parent asks you, go cook me something to eat, or go get me a cup of water. Those are the examples that the Gemara gives in Kiddush and Lamed Aleph Amud Beis when discussing the mitzvah of honoring one's parents. It's always, oh, go do them something that's going to give them some hana. It's going to give them some personal benefit. Get them a cup of water, get them some food to eat. But let's say there's no personal benefit to the parent. Is there still a mitzvah of Kibud Avaim in that situation when the parent isn't actually getting any tangible benefit from the request? So the classic example that people like to bring up is like if you have a mother who's nervous about her child and she sees that her kid is running around outside and it's a little chilly outside and he's not even wearing a sweatshirt, oh my gosh, and she goes and she looks outside and she says, hey, Shlomo, you better go put on a sweatshirt right now. After all, there's a mitzvah of Kibud Avaim. So is that true? Is there a mitzvah of Kibud Avaim even when it's not going to actually give any personal benefit to the parent? The kid's putting on a sweatshirt, not the parent. The parent isn't putting on a sweatshirt themselves. They're not giving the parent something to eat, something to drink. Is there still a mitzvah of Kibud Avaim when there's no direct benefit to the parent? And so the Ritva on our Gemara, on Yevamos Daf Vav, says that we see from Rashi a very important application to this discussion. Because go back to that case which we discussed about a father who's a Kohen tells his son to go enter a cemetery. So why is the father telling his son to go enter a cemetery? So Rashi says that the father says, oh, go into the cemetery because I see that there's a lost object over there. I see Reuven's wallet in the cemetery. So a father tells his son, who's a Kohen, who's not allowed to enter a cemetery, oh, go jump over the fence and go into that cemetery so you can go and return Reuven's wallet. That's a case where there's no personal benefit to the parent. And still Rashi says that that is a fulfillment of Kibud Av V'Aim. So we see from Rashi and Yevamos Daf Vav right here on the daf that we're learning today, Rashi seems to tell us that there is a mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim. Honoring one's parents even applies if they make a request which does not give them any personal benefit. But the Ritva is very bothered by this. And the Ritva says, what are you talking about, Rashi? The Ritva says the case is probably where the father says, oh, look, there's my wallet. Can you go get me my wallet, which fell in the cemetery? Or some fancier cases. Tosfos says that maybe the father, there's like some food in the cemetery. It's like, oh, look, there's a bowl of cholent in the cemetery. Can you go get me that bowl of cholent? So the father is asking a request that does give him some personal benefit. But at the end of the day, we have this machlokes, this feud between Rashi and the Ritva over here, that Rashi says that there is a mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim, even when it doesn't give any personal benefit to the parents, whereas the Ritva says, no, if there's no personal benefit to the parents, there is no mitzvah to listen to one's parents. And so if your mother's asking you to go put on a sweatshirt when you're outside, you could say, I don't have to, because that's not part of the mitzvah, that there's no personal benefit to you over here. And very interestingly, the Maharik, who is one of the later Rishonim, has a tshuva where someone asked him, let's say I want to marry a certain girl, and my parents say, they don't want me to marry that woman. My father says, I don't want you marrying that girl. So is there a mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim to listen to your parents, to not marry the girl that you think is the right girl for you, that's your basher? Is there a mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim to listen to your parents about who to marry? So the Maharik gives three answers why there's no mitzvah over here. And one of them is based on this Rashi versus the Ritva, that perhaps in that case, there's no personal benefit to the parents. The parents aren't the ones marrying them. I'm the one marrying them. And they can't tell me who I should or shouldn't marry. There's no personal benefit. And if there's no personal benefit, we saw from the Ritva, then there is no mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim. Another similar example, if one wants to make aliyah and their parents don't want them to make aliyah, so is there a chiyuv, an obligation to listen to your parents about where you're going to live in life? Someone could say, no, it doesn't impact them. That's my life and not your life. So the extra detail, don't go applying this at home. The extra detail is, of course, if it's going to cause your parents tsar, it's gonna pain them to see that you're outside and it's freezing and you're not wearing a sweatshirt, or it's gonna pain them to see you marry the wrong girl or to make aliyah, and that is going to impact their lives. So that's a very important factor to also consider. But that main discussion about whether Kibud Av V'Aim applies when there's no personal benefit to the parents comes up right in our daf on Yevamos daf vav from this small little Rashi over here, Hitameh. So that was all from the first example of how I wanted to prove that Aseh is even doche elos Aseh sheyesh bo kares, perhaps from Kibud Av V'Aim, and we ended up rejecting that proof. And so now we move on to a second proof. The Gemara says, Ella, Sakra et hachamina teisi mebinyan beis hamikdash. Maybe we could bring a proof that Aseh doche elos Aseh sheyesh bo kares from the mitzvah of building the beis hamikdash. D'tanya, this whole back and forth is going to look very familiar because it's very, very similar to what we just spoke about by Kibud Av V'Aim, as you're going to see. D'tanya, it says in the Braisa, Yachol Yehei Binyan Beis HaMikdash Doche Shabbos. I would have thought that maybe the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash overrides Shabbos. So in Bnei Yisrael, we're commanded to build the Beis HaMikdash, and then suddenly it becomes Shabbos. Do they have to stop building, or can they keep building on Shabbos? So I would have thought that maybe that the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, they should continue to build even on Shabbos. Tamalomar, the pasuk tells me, as Shabsosai Tishmoru, O Mikdashi Tirau, Kulchem Chayavin Bechvodi. The same pasuk that describes the Beis HaMikdash also describes the mitzvah of Shabbos, telling me that you should not violate Shabbos when it comes to the mitzvah of Beis HaMikdash. Or in other words, the Aseh of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the positive commandment of building the Beis HaMikdash, does not override the Los Aseh Sheyesh Bo Kares, presumably, of violating Shabbos. And again, it's a pasuk that tells me that over here it doesn't override, which implies that without this pasuk, the general default rule is that a positive commandment does override even a lo sase sheyesh bo karis. And so presumably we're talking about a lo sase sheyesh bo karis. As we said, the 39 primary melachos of Shabbos are punishable by karis as well. So the Gemara says, my la bibone visoser, aren't we talking about that you want to build a Beis HaMikdash and you want to violate the 39 melachos, the primary prohibitions which are punishable by karis of building and destroying? And we conclude the proof. But time of the Kosar Rachmana Shapsosai Tishmoru, here a pasuk tells me that the Asay does not override the Lo Sase Sheyesh Bo Kares, but a halav hachi dachi. Without that pasuk, the default rule is that the Asay does override the Lo Sase Sheyesh Bo Kares. The Mara says, no, same answer as before, lav dimechamer. It's not talking about violating the 39 primary prohibitions of Shabbos, which are punishable by karis. It's a regular losase, like mechamer, of leading your animal to do work for you. That one would have thought that maybe you can get your animal involved in building the Beis HaMikdash. The pasuk says, no, don't even do that. So it's not a losase sheyesh bo karis, it's a regular losase, and the Gemara has the same question. Whoa, whoa, whoa! They're talking about a regular losase over here, that an ase does not override a regular losase? Tafilu hachi lo dachi, nevertheless, it does not override? Fe'ela de kaimalon de asiase vedachi losase, legmar meacha de lo dachi. Then instead of what we spent the last 2 weeks proving that ase doche losase, we see from right here that an ase does not override a losase, even a standard losase. Same question as before. Maybe you'll say that, oh, there's no problem because Shabbos is different, because Shabbos is more strict. As we said, one who violates Shabbos is comparable to one who violates idolatry. But that's not true. We see places where we learn halachos from Shabbos, and we don't have a problem with saying that, oh, Shabbos is in a league of its own. For example, the Tanya, Yachol amar lo adiv hi tameh, osha amar lo al tachzir, yachol yishama lo. I would have thought maybe I should listen to my parents if they ask me if I'm a Kohen and they ask me to violate the Isser of Tumas Kohanim for a Kohen to become impure, or maybe I should listen to my parents if they ask me to violate the mitzvah of Ashavas Aveda to not go and return someone's lost object. Tamalomar ish imov aviv tirau vegomer kolchem chayavin bechvodi. So we learn, just like one should not listen to their parents to violate Shabbos, so too they should not listen to their parents when it comes to the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda, or the Avera, the Isser of a Kohen becoming impure. So we see that we don't view Shabbos as being in a league of its own. The same discussion we had earlier on the Amud, and the Gemara has the same response. Ela mishom de ikel mifrach malahanach shekein hechsher mitzvah. So fine, forget the whole mechamer ordeal. Let's say that we're talking about a regular a losase sheyesh bo karis of the lamites balachos, and so maybe we thought that from here we have a proof that it's an ase versus a losase sheyesh bo karis, and so we see, just like over here the ase overrides the losase sheyesh bo karis, so to by us, by Yibum, the ase would have been doche the losase sheyesh bo karis. The Gemara now is answering that's not true. You can't learn from here to the case of Yibum. Shekein hekshra mitzvah, as we explained earlier. Over here, when it comes to building the Beis HaMikdash, I have an ase. The only way to fulfill this ase is by violating the losase. I have a Beis HaMikdash to build, and it happens to be Shabbos. The only way to fulfill the mitzvah of binyan Beis HaMikdash, of building the Beis HaMikdash, is if I do it right now and violate Shabbos. So over here, yes, the ase overrides the losase sheyesh bo karis, because there's no way for me to get the best of both worlds of just getting the ase without violating the losase. I have to, if I want to do the ase, the only way to do that is by violating the losase, and so that's why we say that the ase doche losase sheyesh bo karis in this case. But when it comes to our case of Yibum, where the mitzvah of Yibum, I can fulfill this mitzvah without violating the prohibition of arayos, of marrying my daughter, for example, because I can just do chalitza, which is also a mitzvah over here, and that's a way of getting the best of both worlds. I can get the ase without violating the los ase. And so who says by us that ase doche los ase sheyesh bo karis applies if by us there is a way to fulfill the ase without violating the los ase? So that was all basically a copy and paste of what we had earlier when we discussed kibud avim. But the Gemara says, not so fast. Right, this all sounds very familiar. The Gemara asks, hechsher mitzvah typically mehasam. I already learned from kibud avim that ase doche los ase sheyesh bo karis applies in these situations when the ase can only be fulfilled by violating the los ase. So I already learned this from Kibbutz Avayim. If you remember, 10 minutes ago or so, we already learned this rule from Kibbutz Avayim. So why do I have a pasuk to tell me by Binyan Beis HaMikdash that also over here, Aseh Doach HaLos Aseh Sheyesh Bokaris, as long as the only way to fulfill the Aseh is by violating the Los Aseh, then we're going to say that it overrides. I already know that from the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avayim. So it's definitely not a proof for Yevamos, but we're also stuck trying to understand why is there a pasuk that tells me that compares building the Beis HaMikdash to Shabbos, if I already know the fact that I can't build the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, because I could just compare that to the case of Kibbutz Avayim. The Gemara now is stuck. What do we learn from this pasuk of Eshab Sosai Tishmoru Omikdash Yitirao, the pasuk that compares Shabbos to the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara says, Eina Chanami, you're right. The Eshab Sosai Tishmoru Omikdash Yitirao Lamali, what's this pasuk coming to teach me? Mi Bai Lele Kedetanya, it's needed to teach me what was taught in the following Braisa. Yachol Yisyare Adam Mi Mikdash. I would have thought that maybe one should have fear of the Beis HaMikdash. The pasuk says, Mikdash Yitirao, to be in awe of the Beis HaMikdash. I would have thought that that means to actually be in awe of the structure. Wow, I see the Beis HaMikdash. What a tremendous building, and I'm in awe of how beautiful it looks. But no. Yachol Yisrael Adam Mikdash. Maybe one should be in awe of the Beis HaMikdash itself. Tamalomar Yishab Sosai Tishmoru. The Es Mikdashi Tirao. It compares the Mikdash to Shabbos. Nemra Shmira B'Shabbos. V'Nemra Mora B'Mikdash. It discusses keeping Shabbos. And it discusses being in awe of the Beis HaMikdash. And we can compare one to the other. Mashmira Ha'amura B'Shabbos. Lo mi Shabbos atomis yare, ela mi mi shehizir ala Shabbos. Just like when it comes to Shabbos, there's no reason to fear the day of Shabbos. We're not supposed to be in awe of the seventh day of the week. We're in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, the one who commanded us to keep Shabbos. So to by the Beis HaMikdash, af mora ha'amura b'mikdash, lo mi mikdash atomis yare, ela mi mi shehizir al ha'mikdash. So too, when it comes to being in awe of the Mikdash, it's not about being in awe of the structure, but it's about being in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, the one who commanded you to build that Beis HaMikdash. That's what Mora Mikdash is, to be in awe of the Beis HaMikdash of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one who commanded you about building the Beis HaMikdash. So what is this being in awe? What's a practical, tangible take-home of the halacha of being in awe of the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara explains, the Ezohi Mora Mikdash, what's included in this commandment to be in awe of the Beis HaMikdash? Lo yikanes adam behar habayis b'makalo. One cannot walk over the Makom HaMikdash, the location of the Beis HaMikdash. One can't walk there with his walking stick, or b'minalo with his shoes on, or b'pondaso with his money belt, or b'avak sha'agabe raglov, or with dust on his feet. Velo ya'asenu kapandaria, and one should not use the location of the Beis HaMikdash as a shortcut, just to say that, oh, I have to get to my house, and the quickest way is just, you just cut through the Beis HaMikdash and you make a left. You can't do that through the Beis HaMikdash, because it's a very big deal. It's an important location, and one's supposed to be in awe, and you cannot use it as a shortcut. And additionally, v'rekika mikal v'chomer. And we also learn from a Kal V'Chomer that one should also not spit in the Beis HaMikdash. What's this Kal V'Chomer? So Rashi fills us in. Rashi in the third line, Divya Maschil mi Kal V'Chomer. Mefarish bebrachos beperek haroa. This is a Gemara in the end of Brachos. It's learned from Megillas Esther. The Pasuk says, Michi ein lavo al shar hamelech belavush sak. The pasuk says by Esther that Mordechai can't go in front of the king Achashverosh because after all, he's wearing sackcloth. So if someone can't go in front of a human king because they're wearing sackcloth, and sackcloth is eino malus, it's not disgusting, it's not repulsive, it's not fancy enough to be in the palace with sackcloth. So if that's true, so kal v'chomer larok, so even more so when it comes to spitting on the makom hamikdash, shehu malus l'pnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is in front of not just a human king, but in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you can't wear sackcloth in front of Achashverosh, then even more so you can't spit in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the list of things that are included in the halacha of Mora Mikdash, of being in awe of the Beis HaMikdash, that one cannot walk there with a walking stick, with their shoes on, with a money belt, with dust on their feet. They shouldn't use it as a shortcut, and of course they should also not spit in the Makom HaMikdash, the location of the Beis HaMikdash. The Mark continues, Ve'ainli ela bezman shebeis HaMikdash kayam. I know that that's only true, or I would only think that that's true when the Beis HaMikdash exists. Unfortunately, we don't have Beis HaMikdash right now. Maybe only when the actual structure is up there, that's when all these rules apply. But bezman she'ein Beis HaMikdash kayam minayin. How do I know that even when there's no structure, there's no Beis HaMikdash anymore? Rachmana Litzlan, unfortunately, that's what we're stuck with. So I don't know that that rule still applies. So minayin tamal lomar eshap sosai tishmaru umikdash tiro. The pasuk compares Shabbos to Beis Hamikdash. Mash mira ha'amora b'Shabbos leolam af mora ha'amora b'mikdash leolam. Just like the prohibition of violating Shabbos is true forever. That's not going anywhere. One always has to keep Shabbos for all eternity. That rule is always going to be on the books. So too, the rule of not treating the Makom HaMikdash disrespectfully is also true forever, even when there isn't a physical structure over there. So this halacha of Mora Mikdash, of being in awe of the location of the Beis HaMikdash, so it still has some applications today in terms of if, in theory, one wanted to go travel on Har HaBayis, the location of the Beis HaMikdash, they would have to follow certain rules. Besides for not being a particular type of Tameh, of being impure, you also can't violate any of these things. You can't go with dirt on your feet, and you can't use it as a shortcut, and all that stuff. But there's also another practical, or perhaps more practical, application of this mitzvah of Mora Mikdash, being in awe of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's based on the Sefer Yerayim. The Sefer Yerayim was it's an early Rishon who discusses this mitzvah of being in awe of the Beis HaMikdash, and he applies it to our shuls as well. To the Beis HaKnesses, one also has to treat the Beis HaKnesses respectfully. Because the Chazal in several places refer to Shul as a Mikdash Ma'at. It's like a mini Beis HaMikdash. And so just like there's an obligation to treat the location of the Beis HaMikdash with respect, so too, there's a biblical obligation to treat our shuls with respect and to not make it dirty or perhaps to eat in shul and drink in shul and to schmooze in shul. Is according to the Arayim, most would probably say, the Prima Gudim says that's just a biblical offshoot of Mora Mikdash, but the Arayim says that we see that for that Mora Mikdash, this biblical obligation of not treating the Beis HaMikdash disrespectfully also applies to our shuls. Biblically, one is required to treat our shuls respectfully. Based on this comparison, that shul is like a mikdash ma'at, it's like a small Beis HaMikdash. There are a couple of also very interesting applications of the fact that our shuls are called a mini Beis HaMikdash, and so we can take Beis HaMikdash halachos and just kind of copy and paste and apply them to our shuls. Rav Asher Weiss in his Sefer Al HaTorah, Minchas Asher Al HaTorah, discusses a whole handful of connections that of halachos, Beis HaMikdash halachos, which we apply to shuls. For example, the Zohar says that we just discussed a mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. There's a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. The Pasuk says, Va'asu li mikdash, to build the Beis HaMikdash is a mitzvah. The Zohar says that there's also a mitzvah to build a shul. Building a shul is also a mitzvah, midoraisa, a biblical commandment to build a shul. And also, a little more scary, on the other side of things is the Rambam. Because the Rambam says that the Torah tells us that there is a prohibition, min ha-Torah, to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. To go chipping at the wall. I think there was a shaila that someone asked about chipping at the kosel, if they're allowed to go and like take home like a piece of the wall from the kosel. And it's a big shaila because there's a prohibition of v'nitatz temes mizbechosam that one should go destroying avodah zarahs, but lo sason kein la'Hashem elokeichem, don't go destroying the Beis HaMikdash. And so the Rambam says that also applies to our shuls, that the Torah is telling us not to destroy our shuls. And so people are being a little more reckless with the shtenders than they should be. The Rambam says that that's actually a biblical prohibition, which is super scary stuff. That's a few applications of the fact that our shul is referred to as a mikdash me'ad, and so that's why the Yerayim says that mora mikdash, the commandment of being in awe of the Beis HaMikdash, and to not use it as a shortcut, and not to treat it disrespectfully, actually also will apply to our shuls themselves. So that was the second potential proof, which we rejected, of Aseh Doch Halos Aseh Sheyesh Bo Karis. And so now let's bring us back to the third and final proof, or suggested proof, for today's daf. It will continue on Daf Zayin. But the third suggested proof of how do we know that an Aseh is Doche Halos Aseh Sheyesh Bo Karis. Again, how do we know that an Aseh, a positive commandment, we spend the last two daf improving that a positive commandment overrides a run-of-the-mill standard Los Aseh, any typical negative commandment. But what about a negative commandment that also is punishable by Karis? A lo sase sheyesh bo Karis. Like we said, like the Lamites Malachos of Shabbos, the 39 primary prohibitions of Shabbos, which are lo sase sheyesh bo Karis, or like in our example by Yibum, marrying your daughter, for example, or one of the forbidden relationships, are a lo sase sheyesh bo Karis. Do we still say that the positive commandment can override a lo sase sheyesh bo Karis? So now we turn to our third proof of the day from Havara. The Gemara says, The first word on the line is Le'olam. The Gemara continues, Ella Salka Daitach Amina Tesi Me Havara. I would have thought we can learn from Havara, the prohibition on Shabbos to ignite a flame. As it says, the Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, it says in the following Braisa that was taught in Rabbi Shmuel's base medrash, Lo Sevaru Eish Becholmos Voseichem. The Pasuk says, one should not ignite a flame on Shabbos, Becholmos Voseichem, wherever you happen to be, whichever location you may find yourself. The Gemara asks, Ma Tamul Omar, what does this Pasuk teach me? The Gemara asks, on that, Ma Tamul Omar, are you serious? What's this Pasuk teaching me? Do you not know the famous rule that this Pasuk teaches me? There's a dispute. There's apparently the Gemara assumes that's a famous machlokas of Rav Yossi and Rabbanan from the Gemara and Shabbos about what this pasuk lo sevaru eish teaches me, either for Rav Yossi lelav or Rav Nasan lechalik, as we will explain in a second. As the Braisa says, Ditanya havara lelav yatzasa divi Rav Yossi Rav Nasan omer lechalik. So we know that there are 39 primary prohibitions of Shabbos. So how do I know that I can't, for example, write on Shabbos? So who says, is there a pasuk in the Torah that tells me you can't write on Shabbos? No, there is not. There's no pasuk that tells me explicitly, don't write on Shabbos, don't cook on Shabbos. Those are all learned from the actions that were used to construct the Mishkan. When Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar, the Gemara and Shabbos, Chazal elsewhere, learn that all the things that we can't do on Shabbos are the actions that they did to construct the Mishkan. So they had to write on the planks to know which one to do. They had to cook the dyes in order to have the dyes to color the curtains of the Mishkan. So all the actions that they did in the Mishkan to construct the Mishkan are the same actions that we can't do on Shabbos. There's no pasuk telling me not to write, not to cook. That's just from part of the general rule of we learn all the actions from the Mishkan are the actions that we can't do. Those are the 39 primary prohibitions of Shabbos. But then there's one exception, because we go in our heads thinking, okay, the Torah does not have to tell me that I can't write on Shabbos or can't violate Shabbos in any of those particular ways. But then you go and you read the pasuk that tells you, Lo sivaru eish. Beyom HaShabbos, that you can't ignite a flame on Shabbos. And you have to ask the simple question, why is there an explicit pasuk telling me that I can't ignite a flame on Shabbos? If we know all of the 39 malachos are learned from the Mishkan, from the construction of the Mishkan, without having its own explicit pasuk. So the fact that Havara has its own pasuk is a very strange thing. So what's that doing over there? What's that coming to teach me? And so there's a very important machlokes, a dispute between Rav Yossi and Rav Nasan. Rav Yossi says something very fascinating. He says that the Torah singles out Havara to tell me that Havara is on a lower standard, that Havara is more lenient than all the other 39 malachos, meaning that the other 39 malachos, or maybe for him the other 38 malachos of Shabbos, are punishable with skila, being stoned by Beis Din, as well as kares, as we're looking for the kares over here, that Hashem is going to punish you personally with kares. And Havara is less than that. It's not going to be Chayav Skila. It's not going to be Chayav Kares. You're not punished with any of those punishments. You're just going to get a regular. It's like Mechamer, as you spoke about earlier. It's a regular, standard losase, like we find in other places. That's what Rabbi Yossi says. We single out Havara to teach me that it's more lenient than other Malachas of Shabbos. Rav Nasan says, Lechalik Yatzas. Rav Nasan says that I would have thought without this pasuk that there's a whole list of 39 malachos. And yes, if I violate all 39 on one Shabbos, I violate all 39 malachos, so then maybe only over there am I going to be punished with skila, is based in going to punish me with stoning and with kares. But if I just do one of the 39, I'm going to be punished even for just doing one of the 39? So the pasuk tells me that lo sevaru eish b'chol mosh voseichem b'yom HaShabbos. Just like Havara is singled out, and one is going to be punished for just violating Havara, so too for any of the 39 malachos, if you violate even one individually, you're going to be punished with skila and kares. So for Rav Yossi, it's to downgrade Havara, and for Rav Nasan, no. Havara is just like all the other malachos. It is punishable by kares. It's just to teach me that one is even going to be punished for violating Shabbos, even if they just violated one of the 39 malachos. You don't have to do a whole checklist of 39 to become punished with skila on Shabbos, even for just one. That's lechalik yatzas. So that was a side comment. So again, we started off asking, what's that pasuk teaching me? The Gemara says, we know what it teaches us. It's all about this machlokes of Yossi and Rav Nasan. The Gemara says, no, that's not what we were asking. We were asking about the strange word moshavos in that pasuk. Moshavos, ma tamalomar. Why does it say Moshavos over here? What's that coming to teach me? Michdi Shabbos chovas hagofi. Shabbos is an obligation on one's body, but not on one's land. The chovas hagof no hages bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz. A chovas hagof, one obligation that's on someone personally and not on their land, applies whether you are in Eretz Israel or if you are in chutz la'aretz. Because the Gemara is saying that when the pasuk tells me that one should fulfill a mitzvah, B'chol Moshavoseichem, that keyword usually means wherever you happen to be settled. If you're living in Eretz Yisrael, or if you're living in Chutz La'aretz in Passaic, New Jersey, either way you have to keep these mitzvos. And so there's a rule that usually which mitzvos only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Those are the Chovas HaKarka. Those are the mitzvos that are Teluyos Ba'aretz. If you look at Rashi and Chovas HaGuf, he gives us a sampling of what are those mitzvos. Chovas HaGuf, ve'ena Teluya B'Karka. What is an example of a mitzvah Teluyos Ba'aretz? Kekelayim, ve'arla, utrumos, umaisros. All of these land mitzvos, taking off of my produce to give some to the Kohen and some to the Levi, all the land commandments, those are things which only apply to Eretz Yisrael. And so maybe a pasuk would come and tell me that, oh, some of these halachos actually apply the Chol Mosh Boseichem even in Chutz La'aretz. But why by Shabbos does the Torah have to tell me, you know, Shabbos is not only an Eretz Yisrael rule, it also applies here in Chutz La'aretz. So what's Bechol Mosh Boseichem coming to teach me? So it must be it's nothing about Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz. It must be Bechol Mosh Boseichem teaches me a very unique halacha about Shabbos. The Gemara says, again, Moshavos tekasav rachmana b'Shabbos lamali. Why does it say Moshavos by Shabbos? Mishomar b'Yishmal, Amar Talmud Echad, one student said in the name of Rabbi Yishmal, the following answer. Lefi shenemar v'chiyye b'ish chet mishpat maves v'humas. The pasuk says that there is a mitzvah for Beis Din to punish a sinner. If someone violates any commandment, then they are punished. They are punishable with misa of being put to death. So Beis Din has a mitzvah that's an asay for Beis Din to put someone to death. So Shameya ni bein b'chol bein b'Shabbos. I would have thought that maybe Beis Din even has a mitzvah to put people to death on Shabbos, when that includes a couple of violations of Shabbos to put someone to death, as we're going to explain in a bit. And so yes, the pasuk tells me that mechal leha mos yumas, don't go violating Shabbos. If you violate Shabbos, it's a bad thing, then you're going to be chayiv misa. But that's bishar malachos. That's talking about, not in Beis Din, that's talking about us, when we're in our homes, that we shouldn't violate Shabbos. But chutz mi misas Beis Din, when it comes to misas Beis Din, maybe they can even put someone to death on Shabbos. Or, o eino ella afilu misas Beis Din. Or maybe even misas Beis Din is prohibited on Shabbos. Beis Din can't go putting people to death on a Shabbos. Umani mekayim vehumas. And the pasuk tells me vehumas that Beis Din has a mitzvah to execute a sinner, but that's only bechol, only during the week, velo b'Shabbos. And the Gemara goes back and forth. Oh, ain't no Ella afilu b'Shabbos. Or no, maybe it even applies in Shabbos. So the Gemara is going back and forth. Is Beis Din as a mitzvah's asay to put someone to death if they violate an avera and their witnesses and all that stuff and the warning? So if that's true, there's an asay of Misa's Beis Din for Beis Din to put someone to death. Maybe that applies even on Shabbos. Or in other words, perhaps the asay of Misa's Beis Din executing someone, is going to override the los asay of Shabbos. That's why it's important for us. It's an asay versus perhaps a los asay sheyesh bo karis. The Gemara says, Tamalomar lo sevaru esh bechol mosh voseichem. That's what we learn from our pasuk, from the strange words of bechol mosh voseichem. How? Because ula holan hu omer vahayu eile lachem luchukas mishpat ledor voseichem. When talking about Beis Din putting people to death, it has the word mosh voseichem. Just like the word Moshavos, when it talks about Beis Din putting someone to death, it talks Moshavos means in Beis Din. So too, Af Moshavos Ha'amurim Kan BeBeis Din. So too by us, when it says Lo Sevaru Esh B'Chol Moshavoseichem, that is talking about in Beis Din. Beis Din should not ignite a flame. When is Beis Din igniting a flame? So if they have to punish someone who's Chayiv Misas Sreifa, if someone is Chayiv to be put to death, they're punishable by being put to death through strafa, through fire. And that's by they don't just like light a guy on fire, but they melt lead and they pour that molten lead down someone's throat. So maybe they should even do that on Shabbos. The pasuk says no. Lo sevaru esh b'chol mosh voseichem. Lo sevaru, right? The Amar Rachmana, Lo Sivaru. The Pasuk says, do not ignite a flame even in Beis Din. Beis Din, or in other words, the assay of Misa's Beis Din, Beis Din putting someone to death through Srefa, does not override the Lo Sasei Sheyesh Bo Kares of Shabbos. My lav, Rabbi Nasan, he to Amar Lechalik Yatzasa. And aren't we talking about a Lo Sasei Sheyesh Bo Kares? Because after all, according to Rav Nasan, Havara is just like all of the other Lo Sases, all the other Malachos of Shabbos. That Havara, just like the Lamethes Malachos, the 39 primary prohibitions of Shabbos are punishable with Kares, Havara, according to Rav Nasan, Havara is in that category. Rav Yossi says that Havara is downgraded, but we're saying now, presumably we're talking within Rav Nasan's Shita, that Havara, igniting a flame, is a Lo Sase Sheyesh Bo Kares. And so here we have our proof. V'taima dekasher rachmana lo sivaru. Here the Pasuk says that the Asay does not override the Lo Sase. Don't go violating it on Shabbos. But halav hachidachi. So our same methodology. We have an example of where the Asay does not override the Lo Sase. That's because it's a special pasuk. But without that pasuk, the default rule would have been that the assay does override a lo sasei sheyesh bo kares. And so here we have our proof. The Gemara says lo, Rav Yossi. It gives a simple answer. No, we're talking within the shita of Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi's opinion is that Havara has been downgraded. It's like Mechamer, the same answer we gave before, that, oh, we're not talking about a lo sasei sheyesh bo kares. We're talking about a regular, run-of-the-mill standard lo sasei, because according to Rav Yossi, Havara has been downgraded to not being chai of kares. It's not one of the 39 primary prohibitions of Shabbos which are punishable by Kares. It's your regular run-of-the-mill Lo Sase, and therefore is totally unrelated to our conversation of Ase versus Lo Sase Sheyesh Bo Kares. Mara says, whoa, not so fast. But even according to Rav Yossi, we still have a proof. But to have a Nami Rav Yossi, even if it's according to Rav Yossi, there's still a problem over here. Or there's still a proof. There still is a Lo Sase Sheyesh Bo Kares over here. Why? Because Amar da Amar Rav Yossi Havara Lelav Yatsas. When does Rav Yossi say that Havara has been downgraded? That's by Havara Gredasa. That's by when it's just Havara. The only prohibition being violated over here is one is igniting a flame. However, over here, Havara de Beis Din, when Beis Din ignites a flame to put someone to death, that's not just a violation of Havara, of igniting a flame, because Bishul Psilahu, that's also the prohibition of Bishul. Bishul is definitely one of the Lo Sases Sheyesh Bo Kares. That's definitely still in that main category of the 39 primary Malachos of Shabbos. The Amar, as Rav Sheshes says, the Amar of Sheshes, Mali Bishul Psila, Mali Bishul Samonim. The Bishul, the fact that one cannot cook on Shabbos is learned from, as we said, the construction of the Mishkan, that they used to cook the dyes in order to have dyes to color the curtains of the Mishkan. And so too, just like there's a problem to cook dyes, so too there's a problem to cook the psila, the lead, as the way that Beis Din puts someone to death through Srefa, through fire, is that they melt the lead and they pour that down someone's throat. And so even according to Rav Yossi, that yes, Havara has been downgraded, but Bishul hasn't been downgraded, so we're still in a situation of an Asay versus a Lo Sasei Sheyesh Bo Kares. Because Bishul, even according to Rav Yossi, Bishul is definitely a Lo Sasei Sheyesh Bo Kares. So that's the Gemara's proof from Havara, or rather from Misa's Beis Din, from the fact that Beis Din can punish people. Maybe that's a proof that Asay Doche Lo Sasei Sheyesh Bo Kares. Amar Rav Shimei Barashi is going to be the answer or the refutation of this proof, which will be discussed next week. But it's interesting, so we discussed this prohibition of Beis Din punishing people. So we spoke about Beis Din cannot violate, they can't punish someone with Srefa. This is also extended to the other Misos of Beis Din. Beis Din also can't stone someone or any of the other, or Chenek or Harag, any of the other Misos of Beis Din. But also, let's say you have a Beis Din wants to punish a guy by putting him in jail. So there's no violation of Shabbos by just closing the door behind someone. So is that also included in this biblical prohibition of Beis Din not putting someone to death? If there's putting someone or punishing someone, putting them in jail doesn't seem to be a violation of Shabbos. So perhaps that would just be a din derabbanan, a rabbinic prohibition. But it does seem that Beis Din also are not allowed to put someone into jail either, even though there isn't a direct violation of Shabbos. So just to summarize what we spoke about today very broadly, we're looking for a source that Asay Doche Lo Sasei Sheyesh Bo Kares, and we had three potential sources, all of which we have either already objected to or will be rejecting in next week's daf. First, we started off with Kibbud Av HaEm, the mitzvah of honoring one's parents. Secondly, we discussed the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, to build a Beis HaMikdash. And third, we spoke about Havara, or based in igniting a flame in order to put someone to death on Shabbos. And we will either have rejected or will be rejecting all of those proofs. And so we're still trying to find a proof that Aseh Docha Los Aseh Sheyesh Bo Karis. Thanks everyone for coming.